Bible to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 37. You know, there's an old joke going around, or an old wives' tale, if you will. I'm not so sure it's a wives' tale because I think there's some truth to it. But it seems like the last place that we give attention, whatever we do that we're good at, is at home. Like the remodeler's house is always falling apart. There's projects that are undone. The auto mechanic's cars are leaking in the driveway. And it seems like home is always the last place because we're out doing whatever we do. And when we get home, we just relax. And this morning, I think it's time that we give some attention at home. We have been talking over the last several weeks about how God builds us for ministry and what that looks like, how he takes us through brokenness, and then what we discover out of that is we discover a gentle spirit, then we are able to see the hand of God and how he's working, and when we begin to operate based upon what he's doing in our life through abandonment of ourselves and reliance on him abiding and the fruit of Christ is coming out, the world is going to hate us and come against us. And that's part of the journey. But then we moved into the section of why God did that. And we began to talk about our relationships that we have. And we talked about those outside. And in this next passage, he really begins to drill down on our relationships at home. So we're going to pick up in verse 27. And we're going to read through verse 37. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out, throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make any oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, we pray this morning that the truth of your word will come alive to us. Not because of anything creative that I can come up with, but because you give it life. And because it has life from you. And so, Father, I ask you to speak to us this morning. I ask you to help us to stand with what's true and to submit ourselves to that and only that as we follow after you with all our heart. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's take a look at the things that keep us from engaging in ministry relationships. And one of those has to do with the stuff going on in our home. And he begins with the issue of adultery. And so here we all know, everybody here would agree that adultery is wrong, that we should not partake in that, we shouldn't encourage that, we shouldn't allow that to go on. But do you realize that if you lust after a woman with your heart, you've already committed adultery with her? And he gives us that understanding because things were so focused on actions that heart was no longer involved. As long as you didn't commit the act, you were okay. But there's a shift in what Jesus is doing. As we submit our hearts and our lives to him, our hearts are a place where things take place. And so he says, now we see the shift to what is your heart doing? And it's no longer just a physical act, but what is going on inside of you. And so we move from that to what appears to be dismemberment instructions. Did y'all notice that? If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it away from you. Or if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. And it's, you know, did you notice this? I noticed something in there that is, do we have any southpaws in here? I think we've got at least a couple. Look at there. One, two, three. Wow, that's a big number. Oh, ambidextrous, depending. He talks about a right eye and a right hand. He doesn't say anything about the left hands. So all the southpaws are okay, I guess. But I thought it was interesting that he used that, and I thought, wow, that's kind of significant, because most of the crowd relies on their right hand. We can imagine, whichever hand you are dominant, you could imagine you could probably go without the other one, but not the one that you're dominant. I'm right-handed, obviously. And to lose my right hand would be a huge impact in my life. To lose my left hand would be an impact, but not as big, right? If we had to lose a foot, we definitely don't want to lose the right one, because that we drive with that one, right? And so he talks about the right eye. You know how to know whether you're right-eyed or left-eyed? If you're to focus on a target and you have to close one of your eyes, whichever eye remained open is whichever eye you are. You're just your natural reaction to that. And so that's how you determine that. And so he talks about these things. It's interesting. And he said, listen, don't let your dominant parts lead you. Don't let the parts of your body that you rely on, or these things that you rely on, lead you. Because we do really let our flesh lead in a lot of ways, and that's what moves into adultery a lot of times. The desire for sexual relations, the intrigue that goes with that, the danger. Listen, we have to be careful who's leading us. We have to be careful who's leading us. He says here, it's better for you to go without a part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And so the question for us is, where do we place our value? Do we place our value on our flesh or on our spiritual life? Where do we place our value? And that's a tough question. Because you know what? The truth is, we all know the right answers. You all know that I'm not going to really give you guys anything new that you probably couldn't already tell me this morning. But the tough thing here is, when your stuff is breaking down at home and your heart is in multiple places, it's hard to be focused on what God's doing. How many of, don't raise your hands, but how many of you have ever had a fight with your spouse? Not including today. You know, it's really hard to hear the voice of God when that's going on for other people and how he wants you to minister. When things at home are not going well, it affects us, as it should. And so that's why he addresses that here, because he's removing these barriers to us being used by God. Then he moves into divorce. Now, I'm going to deal with this before I jump into these verses. Divorce seems to be the only unforgivable sin in the church today. And let me tell you this, God forgives divorce. There's churches that if you've had a divorce, you can't do anything in that church. And I've talked to people like that. But you know what? The Bible says there's only one unforgivable sin. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that's not taking the Lord's name in vain. You know what that passage is talking about? The Holy Spirit coming to you, wooing you to Christ, and you saying no. You saying no to the leading to be saved, to turn your life. Then that's what's unforgivable. Everything else is forgivable. But he deals with divorce because the reason that God deals with it is because it's so hurtful and it's so damaging and it's so painful. And anybody that's been through it will tell you how difficult it is and how hurtful it can be. And God doesn't want you to go through that. In verses 31 and 32, Jesus begins to deal with that. He says, in the past, it was said, to get a divorce, just give her a certificate of divorce. Just write it up. Make it legal. You're out of here. He said, that's what was said. But then Jesus comes in and he says this. He says, now, if you divorce her for anything except unchastity, you make her and anyone who marries her commit adultery. So it matters, the decisions we make. It matters. And he's really laying the groundwork for the next section when he talks about vows. Now, the vows that he talks about are not specifically to marriage, but we're going to look at them in marriage this morning. But he says, if you're going to do that, you've got to be careful. You don't have to worry about, here's the thing. You don't have to worry about making her commit adultery if you divorce her for unchastity, because she's already committed adultery. Right? That's why he said that. Except for this reason, you're going to cause her to commit adultery, because for this reason, she's already done it. And you know what, ladies? It goes both ways, doesn't it? Guys can go do it too. Guys can do the wrong thing. Especially some under this first subject of adultery. The bottom line for us here is today that people divorce too easily for the wrong reasons. Too easy for the wrong reasons. Well, it's just not working out. Or they, man, you've never smelled their breath in the morning. Or, you know, here's one. Well, we've just grown apart. Guess what? You're going to grow apart and together. Terry and I are not the same people when we got married. There's ways that we're closer and there's ways that we're farther apart. That's the honest answer. But the ways that are apart should be a blessing, because that fills in the gap for each other and not a reason to not stick it out. See, today, sticking things out and growing are how we change and learn to listen and respond to other people. And I think that's part of what he's dealing with here. The ease of just sending, because if you're going to minister to other people, if you're going to be used by God, you're going to be dealing with the things that the enemy has driven stakes into the ground in their life, right? If you're really going to get past the surface, hi, how you doing? I'm fine, you're fine, we're all fine. We're not all fine, aren't we? There's times we come in here upset. There's times we have bad days. There's sometimes somebody says something mean to us. There's sometimes we've said other mean things to other people. Sometimes in the car on the way over here. That's why Terry and I drive two different cars. That's horrible. I'm just kidding. She comes up for practice in the morning, for the record. But it happens. And if we don't learn how to deal with that, because when you start to touch a sensitive subject in people's lives that they've defended for decades, that God is wanting to use you in, you better be willing to take a little heat, because you love them. Because you love him and you love them. How about the things that God's been convicting you of that you've had a hard time letting go of? How about the things he hasn't even shown you yet? That's what scares me the most. What has God not yet revealed to me that's wrong with me? That he's going to work on next. And the really scary thing is, how come he's not revealing that to me? Because that means I'm not addressing what he's already given me, right? And let's just cut to the chase here. So if we don't survive the challenges of life with one who's committed their life to us, how can we empathize and teach others to overcome theirs? How can I be a successful marriage counselor if Terry and I aren't together? You can't tell somebody how to go down the road when you haven't gone down the road. Here's the thing that goes with that too. I am not, for the record, I am not a follower of men. But when a man discovers something that Scripture backs up and lays it out for us, because it's scriptural, I say yes to it. I'm not a Rick Warrenite. There's a lot of churches destroyed by the Rick Warren movement, the whole idea of, you know, the purpose-driven church. Churches have split over this. I do think he got the idea of ministry shape right. when you look at it scripturally, when you take it and you vet it by the book, it matches. So I think you got that right. It's part of how God shapes us in its acrostic or an acronym. One of y'all will fix that for me later, I'm sure. That talks about spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And that's all part of the mix, how God creates us for ministry. And experiences is one of them. There is nothing more comforting than when somebody's diagnosed with cancer to have somebody who is a survivor going through treatment to come and put their arm around you and say, I know how you feel. Because you know they know. And that's why we stick it out. That's why, because there's things and there's lessons and there's learning and there's challenges that you face together. And I don't know if you've ever been irritated by your spouse, but I know Terry has. And we all have been irritated at times. And when somebody's irritating you, you learn how to deal with that because you've got somebody committed to you and you survive it together. That's why we do it. Now listen, if you're divorced, and you've turned that over to the Lord, because you've been forgiven by God, don't leave out of here with this idea that I'm a second-class citizen. That ain't true. That ain't biblical. That is not biblical. And so we have to stick it out and go the distance. But then he leaves us with this idea of unkept vows. In verses 33 through 37, Jesus deals with that issue of either false or unkept vows. Now, false vows are vows that we take where we swear by something that we don't own or have any control over to give credibility to our commitment. Why swear by my mama's grave? You ever hear people say that? They say it all the time. What does that mean? But my mama going to come out of the grave and well, my mom might if that, no, she's not in the grave. She's here this morning. She still can whip me in person. I mean, what does that even mean? That's a false vow. Unkept vows are if we vow something to the Lord, we had really better keep it. You better be careful the vows you make, really. Because there's some vows in Scripture that were foolish vows. Like Jephthah's vow, for those of you who want to study an interesting thing. You're like, who's Jephthah? I'm glad you asked. That's your homework for today. To give you a synopsis, Jephthah vowed that if God would do a certain thing, the next thing to come through his front door, he would give to God as a burnt sacrifice and his daughter walk through the door. Now what do you do? The real issue on vows is this, is integrity. The issue is integrity. That's what he's dealing with. Because if I have to swear by something, that means my word ain't good enough. Well, I promise you, based upon such and such, and I'm based on this, and I'm trying to give credibility to what I'm telling you because I don't already have it. And so the issue here is integrity. If everyone knows that you'll follow through on what you say, you don't have to swear by anything. If I tell you and I follow through every time I possibly can, and when I can't, I come back and I own it with you, you're always going to trust what I tell you, right? That's the way it works. And that's why he says anything beyond yes and no is evil, because it's meant to persuade people to something that cannot stand on its own. And what can stand on its own is a life of integrity. Problem. It affects your home life. It affects your ministry. You know what irreconcilable differences means? I'm unwilling to compromise. I'm unwilling to give a little, and you're unwilling to give a little. I'm so self-centered that I am not going to, I don't care about you enough to say no to something I want so we can come together. I care more about that than I do you. And we have to be careful that we don't get in that position. Unkept vows are an issue of integrity. When somebody starts swearing by things like that, that usually is a red flag for me. When I hear that, I'm like, You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I have said this. I can't tell you how many people I've told this to. If my handshake is no good, my signature is no better. Either I am who I am, and I stand on that, or I am not. And we better not live a lie. That's the whole problem with the world today. They say the church is full of hypocrites. Anybody tells me, I say, fantastic, you'll fit right in. Because the truth is, we are hypocrites. How come nobody said amen to that? You do? I mean, how many of you live 100% of this every day? How many of you? There, you just admitted you're all hypocrites. Welcome, come on in. But we're pursuing, and we want you to pursue with us. Let's cut through all the churchy, showy, smiley, button-downy stuff. And let's get to the real heart of the matter. So to keep our relationship at home good, there's a few things we have to realize. We have to put a guard in our mind and not allow it to wander into sinful things. Well, man, I shouldn't be participating in that. It's really easy to do that. See, the biggest problem we have to deal with on this issue, or deal with here, that allows a wandering mind, is the idea that we're not hurting anyone else. This isn't going to hurt anybody else. It's just in my own mind, in my own space. And let me ask you, would it hurt you if your spouse had those wanderings? And all the people said, amen. Would it hurt my ability to be used by God in that moment? Yes. Am I missing out on something that God may have for me? Yes. So that's a lie, that it doesn't hurt anybody else. It absolutely hurts other people. Your spouse and others. Maybe in the moment that God wants to use you in line somewhere, or with somebody else, deal with that lie. We have to put a guard in our mind and not allow it to wander into sinful things. We have to realize that marriage can be tough at times. And those of you who have been married for a while, understand that.
Amen.
And all the married people said,
amen. Amen.
Michelle held her tongue because she wanted to keep the roof on. I'm going to pay for that later. Listen, when the going gets tough, don't give up. Grit is missing today. We need some grit. We need some staying power. We need to say, I don't care how nasty you are, I ain't leaving. You ever thought, don't breathe me. Never mind, don't worry. We need some grit. How many of you believe that surviving tough times together provides confidence in your marriage for what may come in the future? Right? Because I didn't quit her when this happened. She knows I'm not leaving when that happens. Because she didn't quit me when these things fell apart, I know that she'll be there. It provides confidence. And so we don't quit. We don't give up. We need some grit today. Grit, you don't hear a lot about grit anymore. We need some grit, ladies and gentlemen. This world is, you know, it used to be years ago that you would go to work for a company for 30, 35 years and retire, right?
Yeah.
Now it's 24 months or less. They say most pastors pastor a church for 3 years and leave. And you know what they told us in seminary? And I don't know how true this is, but I'm just going to repeat it. We can figure this out. We'll ask Bobby later. He's like, don't bring me into this. They say it takes 3.5 years to become the pastor of a church. And you know what that means? Most churches are pastorless. If everybody's leaving every 3 years. We need some grit, ladies and gentlemen. We can't quit when times... Listen. People are tough. You all know that. You work with them every day, right? There's people you meet and you just go, man, I get along with them. And you've been friends for 10 seconds, but it feels like 10 years, right? You just click. And then there's people you've known for a year and you try and you just can't like them no matter how much you want to try. Right? Come on, you guys know what I'm talking. Don't look at me like all holy and all that. I know the difference. There's some people that just rub you the wrong way, no matter what you do, no matter how nice you are, and you try to be nice, and then they still find a way to rub you while you're doing that. Don't think about them right now like you all are trying. People are a tough business. And at home, when we learn how to stick it out, we can learn how to stick it out together. Because love for the brethren is a sign that we're from God and that Jesus is from God. Amen. Paul said that in Corinthians. He said it's better that you not meet than you allow divisions to exist among you. In other words, deal with it or don't meet. That's why my job in that part of things is so tough. Because when you love somebody that's creating division, the heart is restoration always. Always with a heart of restoration. But protecting the unity of the body comes into play at some point when there's a rebellious heart. And when that happens, then you have to cut that off. That's tough. I hate doing it. Some of you sat with me and watched the tears come when I've had to do that. It's because I want restoration. I want healing. I want the world to see the power of God that can solve differences and not just separate people. That's what the world does. No, I don't like this place anymore. They made me mad. I'm leaving. Let me go find something else. And I understand a changing culture where we're all kind of, everybody's trying to move along and try to find the best thing for them. But we've lost grit. We need to get some grit back in our lives. But we also have to realize if we're going to keep our relationship good at home, we have to realize that integrity matters. Listen, tell the truth. You know where we struggle to tell the truth? When we feel like something bad will happen on us because of the truth. Where we get, if I tell you the truth, things are going to be worse for me than if I hide it from you. It's a self-preservation. That's where the temptation to lie comes in. Listen, follow through on what you say, and when you're unable to follow through on what you say, communicate immediately and honestly. Integrity matters. You know what? I would rather, if I had an employee that broke a $500,000 machine, I would rather them tell me than lie to me. Here's why. Because the machine is still broken. Now I have an employee I can work with to fix it. If they lie to me about it, I'm alone. Do you follow? So you've got two problems instead of one. Because whatever you're lying about is still there. It doesn't go away. So we have to be careful that we don't fall into that. See, we have to protect our home by living godly and interacting honestly and not giving up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Say, well, you don't know what I got to deal with. Yeah? You're right. None of us, we could all say that, right? Because what I found to be true is there's an old saying, you know, we always think the grass is greener on the other side until we get to the other side and find it's the same old brown grass. Just what level of crazy are you willing to deal with? Or what version of crazy? Because you know what? You all crazy. Y'all didn't know that. Aren't you glad you came today? We're all a little crazy, right? Yeah, I'm crazy, I admit it. I confess. Hi, my name is Mark, and I'm crazy.
Hi, Mark.
Right? I can be crazy at times. And some of you could help fill in the areas. We're not going to do that this morning, though, because I'm not going to do it for you either. You know, I read this story. There was a man that went to this audiologist, and an audiologist is a hearing doctor, and says, "Doctor, my wife cannot hear anything I say." And he said, "I'm going to give you a test to perform to see what her hearing is like." He says, "Stand 50 feet away and ask her this question." And he asked her this. So he tells her, ask her if dinner's ready. So he stands at 50 feet away and he says in a normal voice, "Is dinner ready?" And he doesn't hear her say anything. So he moves 10 feet closer and he said, "Honey, is dinner ready?" He didn't hear her say anything again. So he moves another 10 feet closer. Now he's 30 feet. "Honey, is dinner ready?" He didn't hear her respond again. 20 feet. "Is dinner ready?" She didn't say anything then. He got 10 feet away. And he said, "Honey, is dinner ready?" And she said, "For the fifth time, it's on the table." And the moral of the story is this: the problem is not always the other person. Sometimes the problem is us. The problem is people, and sometimes we are them. So let's deal with our stuff at home so that we don't miss out on what God has for us. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.